Alright, time for another draftphysics.com. Debatephysics.com also, but no one to debate. Unfortunately, no good arguments to debate. Nothing. And it's sort of in the context of the very idea of quantum mechanics that showed up like 100 years ago. The idea, the first idea, okay, the major idea, I would argue, is the idea of energy being in clumps. Okay, now whether waves are in clumps or whether all this other stuff is clumpy, it was sort of just the idea that there is an amount of stuff moving through space and that it's a discrete bits of stuff, even could be argued. At least that you could always say how many gallons of it did you have, how much of it was there. And yeah, I would argue that was getting the right answer. And they had some pre-existing notions, like I would say the kinetic energy formula, 1/2 mv², that really doesn't fit with that notion, because all the circumstances in which energy can be transferred to objects or converted sort of demonstrate that you break the idea of a quantity of energy if 1 can equal 2 or 1 can equal 3 or 1 can make 4. If you don't have to do proper addition, you know, if you don't have to conserve the energy, then it gets messy. And the whole advantage of the Planckness of the idea of the universe made of a volume of substance. So you could argue that, I guess, notions of bent space or relativity, where you can frame things into new universes, where you can essentially break the rules of the complete universe. No more conservation in the complete universe, because you have conservation within your sub-universes or sub-frames or whatever. So they accepted an awful lot of what Einstein would term as incompleteness, theoretical problems, okay, that they just didn't feel the need to resolve. They just accepted the dualities and the contradictions. So I'll just go through some of this. Been here, done this, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to do it again. Definitely have to change the cameras to do it, though. Yeah, I'm going to go this here way. And this here way. Okay, yeah, you can almost see that. All right. So I've given the example of the lever, where you can basically put a 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour in and get a 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour out, and these two would have different amounts of energy. So you would have twice as much energy coming out of a, you put 1x in, okay, of the quantity, the volume, and you get 2x the volume out. Which, you know, and there's no mechanism here to feed extra energy into the system. I'm given the example of pressure, where you can understand that if I use one cylinder, same sizes for the pistons and the cylinders, and I can basically just pump pressure from one place to another place. So in here it moves 2 pistons, here it moves just 1. And I'll end up with the same problem. I'll have 2x the energy here and only 1x if I add these up, you know, 0.5 and 0.5. So as velocities, I'll only end up with, you know, 1x the energy here and 2x the total energy here, which just doesn't make any sense. Then I've given an example of space where you essentially throw a mass to change your direction. You use it as a mechanism of navigating, is to throw masses to, you know, they use air or they use gases or they use expanding gases, you know, flames and thrust. But the idea would be as simple as a gun and a bullet. And, you know, you have 1,000 times the mass here, okay, and And yet, you have 1,000 times the energy here, which makes no sense. Okay, that, you know, you have to have the same total energy going this way with the gun as you have this way with the bullet, because what you had was an explosion that doesn't care about direction, that sends energy in both directions equally. So this goes to sort of a misunderstanding of Newton's third law, where, you know, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction, or for every force there's an opposite force. There's no opposites, there's just the fact that if you have, you know, I've given the analogy, you know, if you have a certain amount of money, okay, getting poorer, okay, is a reality, okay? Making somebody else richer, okay, giving them some of your money, okay, is a reality. So if you have a certain amount, you have 100, and you give 50 away, there's the action of the 50 plus that you gave somebody else, the up arrow, and there's the reaction, okay, that's not really a reaction, it's just part of the action of you being 50 down, okay? You lost 50, they gained 50. Now, it looks like equals and opposites, but they're really, it's not an equal and opposite reaction. There's no action going this way. There's just your action of giving away what you have. And that's all that friction is. So in the terrestrial world, we have this big thing, you know, friction. It's a really, you know, it happens all the time, blah, 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 all kinds of ways. And all that is, as even Feynman will sort of illustrate or describe, it's just you, okay, you having energy, motion, an ability to move in absolute space, and you're going to just give that motion to some other object. You're going to hit it, you're going to contact it, and every time you contact some other, little molecules in the air, you're going to move things. And by moving things, okay, you're just giving away whatever energy you have. And there's no opposite reaction. There's no, the objects aren't all sitting somewhere saying, I have inertia. So the only kind of inertia there would be is the kind where, you know, because of friction, and gravity, you're not easy to move because you have to break the contact you have with a surface. So you could really understand it with like a suction cup or some other mechanism where the sticking is really strong, and that you have to break that before you can get something to move. It's not that the object itself is resisting movement, it's that the object in the circumstance is resisting movement. So if I put the object in space, I can put the entire, you know, Empire State Building. Not very good. I gotta put all the little, you know, this kind of stuff on it. In space. And the fact is that you could just poke it with your finger, you know, a minor amount of energy in, and it'll move commensurate, you know, proportional in a volume kind of way. We just figure out how big this mass is, and we divide this velocity, okay, into that mass, to figure out how much velocity each little bit of the Empire State Building is going to get. But it will move, it will go. There's no sticking. It's not stuck somewhere. Now, if it's in a gravitational orbit, it's going to be hard to push it, you know, against that orbit. It depends on, you know, again, you have to look for a circumstance where there's something binding an object. But objects aren't intrinsically bound. That's sort of bad reasoning. So, I mean, this is in, like I said, the whole idea of quantum mechanics. I mean, they're two good concepts. Mechanics, you know, is sort of just saying that, yes, this is mechanical. You can follow it, okay? You can trace every little bit of it in a sense. You can at least model where it goes, how the action moves through a system. And then the quantum is just saying, look, it's all in pennies. Okay, you could demonetize it. You can figure out that it's just an economy. Energy's just an economy. It has a certain amount of goods in it. and all you're really doing is bartering, okay, with the material goods. And, well, in our material universe, we can make another Empire State Building. We can make another Hoover Dam. We can make things that have value. So we can break the number of dollars in the economy, the amount of value in the economy. And the simple argument is, in physics, you can't do that. Okay, in physics, you're not, you don't have the luxury of making, creating more. Could be better, but it's close enough. So in a sense, you know, this argument shouldn't really be taking place, because this, okay, was an argument made 300 years ago that, you know, the 1/2 mv squared, it was back then, it was just mv squared, makes a mess of any understanding of how a lever works. It just destroys any kind of logic to it. It's no longer a momentum conservation device. It no longer perfectly works with momentum. You know, you get the 100 momentums here, 100 momentums here, you know, where kinetic energy says, no, you have 200 units of energy here and only 100 units of energy here. You have a free energy device or a free or energy destruction device. And then I've just given you this pressure argument that's kind of indestructible. Okay, the fact is this will go half the speed, this will go half the speed. These are two objects. When the pressure goes in, they'll move at 5 miles an hour, let's say. And if there was just one cylinder, it'll move at 10. And I could just move the pressure back and forth between those two systems. And when it's in this form, it's only 50 units of energy. And when it's in this form, it's 100 units of energy. It doesn't make any sense. It can't be true. It couldn't possibly oscillate. It couldn't possibly work as a mechanical device. So we'd take advantage of putting 50 in and getting 100 out. We would take advantage of the free energy it creates. Same with the bullet. I mean, it's so intuitively logical. I mean, momentum says, yes, it's 1,000 times fewer. There's 1,000 times more atoms here. 1,000 to 1. Okay, for one little atom here, there's 1,000 atoms here, and these 1,000 atoms have to move, and they have to be, each of them have to physically be moved. Mechanics, mechanical, it's mechanical. The atoms are the quanta in this case, and it's mechanical. You have to account for every movement. So yes, you have to divide the currency. You have to give each one of these a penny, and you can give this, okay, the $1,000 bill. The $100 bill would equal the pennies. So now I'm going to break the perfect analogies. You're going to give one hunk of copper, okay, 1,000 penny, okay, and that's what the bullet's going to have. It's going to have 1,000 times more velocity than the gun, because the gun has 1,000 times more pieces to move. It makes perfect sense. 1/2 mv squared says there's 1 joule of energy here, and that there's 2,000 joules here. Well, 1,000. Does that make any sense? There's 1,000 times more energy going that way than there is going this way. It certainly violates one of your, you know, your laws, Newton's 1/3 law. It makes no sense out of that law. It destroys it. And yet you're comfortable that that's a complete theory. You have a complete theory. You know, it fails here, it fails here, it fails here. Okay, it doesn't work as currency. It doesn't work as conservational. And it completely messes up any notion of what actually happens when you involve yourself with interactions with other objects, in the sense that there's no other force that's forcing things, okay, to behave. That all there is you acting on something, and some part of what you have getting, the panhandler takes his share and you get poorer. Okay, the fact that you get poorer is not being caused by the other world. It's being caused by the fact that, yes, you had contact and gave it away. Didn't just fall out of your pocket. It had to be cut out of your pocket. It had to be taken out of your pocket. So, yeah, so I would argue this really shouldn't be an argument. Yeah, there shouldn't be much contention about the reality. Looks better that way. It's you have to conserve the energy. The energy is in stuff that, whether you think it's a clump or not, whether you actually think it's a material thing moving, an identifiable thing, the whole idea is that you have to accept that it's a substance, it's an amount, and the amount moves through the universe. Again, this is something Descartes, 350 years ago, made as an observation that this is what the universe looks like, that he can't find examples, many anyway, where the rule seems to be broken. They're a little bit confused about what the nature of heat was, but even that, you know, sort of got messed up in this whole mv squared mush, in the sense that people thought every single mechanical device had to create heat, that you couldn't do work without making heat, like somehow heat was an extra, like it was a sound and it didn't cost you anything, when I think all the modern physicists know, no, the sound is costing you something. You have to make that out of your energy. That anything you do, you have to make it out of the energy you have. Anything that happens has to come out of your energy. It doesn't come out of, you know, something else, unless you're playing with dynamite. Unless you're playing with some device that's capable of producing energy, the only movement has to come out of your movement. It has to be pulled out of the vault you have, and that's it. The action has to produce every action. So the sound is part of your energy, the heat is part of your energy, it all comes out of your energy, and it's just some of the inefficiency. But there's no rule that says the action has to create heat. There can be very efficient mechanisms, levers and different things, where very little heat can be created as a consequence of the action, because it's a very ordered and structured transfer of the energy and doesn't involve any chaos or any misdirection. All the energy goes in the direction you want it to go in. And so we've made products more and more efficient. They lose less and less of the energy to heat. That's part of the whole modern technology getting better thing, is taking some of that inefficiency out of a system where you don't really just want to transfer the energy from one useful purpose to the next useful purpose to the next useful purpose to the next useful purpose. You want to take the rotation of the turbine and put it into the movement in the wire, and then you want to put it back into the energizing of the magnets and the rotation of another motor, and you could put 15 different things in that structure, 15 different transfers, and the idea would be is if you can make them all 99.9% efficient, you can get a lot of work done. You could have each one doing a specific task and gain benefit out of that motion. So it's just, we measure work based on something being productive. If I do this all day, okay, physics says I didn't do any work because I didn't go anywhere. My hand didn't get anywhere. It net went nowhere. It net went zero. But obviously it did plenty of work. So it's just recognizing that you want to take this out of actions. You want to take the jitter out of an action. And that way you'll get something you might want to call pure energy, or if more efficient transfers, and that's all you're looking for, is you want all of the energy to do one thing, and then all of the energy to do another thing, and all the energy to do another thing, all the movement to be completely in the direction you wish it to be in. But again, that's sort of a silly definition of work. Okay. Work is just a transfer from energy in one form into energy in another. You have a two mass going this way, a 10-ton train going 10 miles an hour this way, and you want a 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour that way. Well, you have a device you can use to do that. Maybe this one will work too. This one will work too. They all work. They all can do that. All right. So, so that's the dilemma. Is, I think none of these arguments have been challenged in any way. The space argument, that's about mass and velocity. There's no 1/2 mv² involved. It's just about me throwing something out of the spaceship, a mass, okay, and the velocity with which I throw it. And that's the total energy I'll produce. And that energy has to be distributed over the entire mass that I'm attempting to change. And so if the mass is a volt, if it gives out the money this way, it goes that way. Okay, if it gives out the money that way, it goes this way. It's pretty simple and logical. And momentum works. So I guess I can just keep making that argument. There wasn't because there was some glaring failure in what Newton produced. So, I mean, the irony is well, it's no irony. Nobody bought this theory on its birth, okay? They all thought it was a mutant, a little bit not worthy, okay? And it wasn't until much later that they, made it up and, fixed its hair and did whatever they had to do to make it sellable. And they sold it once Newton was out of the way. They decided to essentially slander his physics. I mean, they still say F equals ma is Newton's formula when it's not. Newton's formula was F equals mv. That was his formula. Newton believed energy was momentum. So did Descartes and so did Galileo. And all of their science was based on it. That understanding, and all of their science got correct answers, and none of it got grotesquely incorrect answers, would be the argument. If there were any errors, they were just little errors. And there was nothing substantially broken by the theory of momentum. And yet, physics decided to make a radical change, and it's a radical change. Again, it creates free energy. You can't get more radical than that. And yet, none of that is ever collectible. So it's completely unaccountable. It almost mocks the idea of experiments in the sense that it's basically saying just contrive little special circumstances to make it look like it works when it doesn't work, when it doesn't happen. And you can sort of see that in this current argument about a Mythbusters experiment that's done fairly well, that's fairly decisive in demonstrating that there's no sign of mv squared, and there's plenty of sign that momentum rules the universe. And yet still, I'm challenged with nothing but insults and mockery. And you, like I said, none of these arguments have been countered, because they can't be countered. You can't really explain the pressure argument. You can't explain how, if I have one cylinder, I have twice as much energy as there's two cylinders. This makes no sense. I can't have twice as much energy when the pressure's in one container than I have when the same pressure's in another container. It's the same energy. It's the same volume. It's the same everything. And again, the lever illustrates it. So why do I have to make these arguments? Why haven't intelligent people said, yes, okay, they made a mistake, let's fix it. Thank you, Gary, for pointing out the mistake. We should fix this because it's silly and stupid. And we're embarrassing our intelligence, so let's not do that. Let's follow the evidence. Let's not follow the fable. So, that's where we are. Yeah, it's just, I wouldn't have thought we could be here, because I frankly thought you people were more honest than this. I thought you were more genuinely intelligent. I thought you were too intelligent to really cling to lies and nonsense and a very bad history. The history of mv squared is really bad. There's not any good arguments in the history. and it's all premised on basically religious objections. People who wanted the world to fit their religious theory. And that's why it exists as a theory. And that's a really bad, that's bad genetics for a scientific theory. You're not likely to get anything but a Frankenstein out of that combination of circumstances. Bad motivations, bad ideology, and no scientific method at all. No various experiments done with meticulous oversight and, you know, logic. So, I mean, you know, that just popped into my head. They just gave the Nobel Prize to three doofuses defending, you know, complete Fabiology type experiments. Experiments they don't repeat. Experiments don't have good theory. Experiments full of assumptions. Yeah. Pretty much junk science. And that's unfortunate. But that's where we are. Junk science wins. Feel-good science. Good storytelling. And the truth, who cares? And that's really ugly, tragic, sad, depressing, disappointing. A lot of not good things. So anyway, take a pause and see if there's anything else to say, but lament, lament. I'm sorry for your pitiful state. I'm sorry that you are belligerently ignorant and stupid and wrong and in a sense evil, because really the science says, if you're fair to the science of a lever and fair to the science of pressure and fair to the science of a gun and fair to the science of understanding conservation, fair to the science of understanding even inertia and how in space there is no such thing, there is no resistance to change, if you're fair to that, those facts that exist, then that's all required, is you being fair. Then you will concede that you got to tie this science up, because it's got obvious error code in it. It's more than incomplete. It's incomprehensibly broken, contradictory, full of silly dualities. I guess that'll do. So, this has been draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com also, but again, the debate is not in any kind of mature form, so until it grows into something, it's not very useful to even suggest the possibility that there would be a back and forth and that there would be arguments and counter-arguments, because it appears that the opposing logic and theory can't form a proper argument, you know, a civil, sensible, logical argument for me to counter. So anyway, so till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot.